You are listening to Troy and Tyler on Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. We are a weekly trucking podcast, and all we talk about is trucking-related material and trucking only. Tyler, tell them how they can find us.
Yeah, you can definitely find us on TalkCDL.com, our number one spot. Also, Facebook.com/TalkCDL to listen to the show, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and any other podcasting app that you want. You can find us there. Thank you so much. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, welcome to Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. Guess what? We got Ron back in the studio today. What's up, Ron?
Oh, just happy to be back in town.
Happy to be back in town. All right. And guess what? We got Ron's lovely wife, Tracy, with him today. She's an over-the-road trucker's wife. What's up, Tracy?
Very glad he's back. It's been a long time this time around.
Well, how many weeks has he been out, Trace?
About 8.
8 weeks. My gosh.
You know, the holidays, too, always kind of crappy that time of year.
Yeah. You know, Tracy, over the years in my interviewing truckers, a lot of truckers that are home, they'll tell me that, you know, I love being an over-the-road trucker. After I'm home for about 2-3 days, my wife's always saying, okay, it's time for you to get out of here. Do you have that same attitude or what?
Once in a while, it depends what we're doing. But other than that, it depends how much laundry and chores he brings to me to the house.
Yeah. I mean, if I was Ron's wife, I would be like, after a day, it's time for you to go. Get out there and run.
He has to take me out a couple times, though, when we're home.
Yeah. I'm sure by Friday, she'll be wanting me to get back on the road.
So 8 weeks out, Ron, and I'm, you know, lots happens in 8 weeks, you know. And in fact, you know, maybe we'll talk about the pileups. You know, there's been a bunch of pileups out there. Don't know how close you were to any of those pileups.
I was actually drove by one of them.
Which one was it?
I'm trying to think. I called you actually to let you know.
It was out west. I remember that.
Yeah. How many trucks?
There
cars?
Was five of them.
Oh, five. Well, I'm talking about the big pileups. I mean, it's the little ones I guess we're not really hearing about. You hear about the 30, 40, 50 truck piles. There's one in Michigan. There was one in, I think, two in Pennsylvania so far. And I think there was one in Maryland or Virginia. And then there was another one out in Indiana or something. So up in that Northeast, and that's where the blizzards and stuff has been happening.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember correctly now that that pileup that I drove by was in Flagstaff, Arizona.
You know what? I remember you telling me about that now. Yeah,
and,
go ahead.
That was kind of brutal.
Was that on 40?
That was on 40.
Where was the pileup, on the east or the west side?
On the west side. Okay. Just as you get into Williams, Arizona. And that 40, 50-mile stretch of I-40 on both sides, the road conditions, even in ideal weather conditions, really, you have to be on your game just to make it through there safely.
Yeah. So what was it, on a hill or was it?
It was off of a hill going down, and it looked like they were running together in a pack.
It's a bad thing.
And the lead probably lost control, and that just wiped everybody out.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Ron. I remember when I was a driver, and I haven't talked about something like this in a long time, but I remember, and I used to be one of those guys, we'd get into a pack, and we'd be cranking like 80, 90 mile an hour, and we would literally be like kissing each other almost. We were like drafting off each other, like racing, you know. I guess, is that what you're...
That's my assumption of what happened with that one.
Wow.
And then somebody just hit a patch of black ice and lost control.
Tracy, you worry about that a lot with Ron?
All the time. I'm from Wisconsin, so I really know what it's like to drive in the wind, in the snow and the ice and stuff. And I remember one on a place called Tower Drive in Wisconsin that we had like a 27 car pile up, and it had trucks and everything, and that's like the tallest bridge in the city, and it was really hard for everybody to get to, and there was only so many lanes that they can move traffic and whatnot aside, and the bridge was closed for a few hours because of the accident.
Yeah. So you're always worried about that phone call, ain't
you? I'm very worried about it. He's my guy.
I try to avoid those areas as much as possible.
So Ron, you know, since we're talking about these pileups and everything, what are you seeing out there this winter? I mean, we just went through 2016, we're into 2017. How is it? I mean, I see a lot of stuff up in the North Midwest area. I guess they're talking about that that polar vortex or whatever that's popping down from Canada a lot. What are you seeing out there?
Just that is really the weather is not as bad as it has been in the last 2 years that I've been on the road.
Where are you running more of right now?
I'm more trying to stay down in the southern part of the country, but I've also run the Midwest as well. And the Midwest is really not that bad. It's usually about mid-January when the Midwest that I've noticed gets really slick with the ice.
Yeah. And you know, Brent, now that you mentioned that, one of the things I used to say a lot of is that I-70, which was, you know, runs out there through Illinois into Missouri and all that. And it would personally, that was one of the things that I thought was always icy. Like you get over to Pennsylvania, it was more packed snow. You start getting out into Indiana, Illinois. It seemed like it was almost a different climate where you had more of a misty area and you had a lot of black ice. Right. Is that what you're seeing out in that area?
Pretty much, yeah. And Tennessee is, in my experience last year with Tennessee, is it's always packed ice. I-24, all the way down to I-75 in Chattanooga. Tennessee has a bad habit of not treating their roads.
Yeah. Now, Tracy, you trucked with Ron for almost a year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a lot of knuckle biting?
Well, like you said, when we were going through Nashville one time, I think it was almost toward the end of my journey on the truck, there was a couple cars that hit our trucks that hit some black ice, and it would have been really kind of good if they had their CBs going. Not that you want to have the guys on the radio or anything when they're supposed to be watching the roads, but if you knew what was going on up ahead a little bit and you knew what to watch out for, you would be able to avoid the spots instead of maybe and not having the pileups as often.
And, you know, we have an upcoming, now that you bring that up, Tracy, we actually have an upcoming episode about it's actually called CBs and pileups. And, you know, we really broke down that Cheyenne video where they were just piling up like crazy. And sometimes it was over a minute till another trucker would come in and just slide into the pile. And that's obviously a minute that you can cover a lot of ground in a minute. And if there would have been a CB turned on, obviously we'd have been able to stop, you know, a couple miles back. But, you know, that's something else. But my question actually for you is, was it really nerve-wracking to you as a passenger in winter moments? Were you pretty scared out there?
Yes, I was, because I felt like I didn't have any control just being in the passenger seat. I myself could never really drive a semi. But when you're seeing stuff that you don't know if the other guy sees, even though my husband is always really cautious with what he's doing, I'm always a little hypersensitive to everything due to a couple accidents that I've had in the past, and I'm kind of a bad passenger to have because of that situation.
Ron's over here smiling, shaking his head, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how many times she about freaked out, and I'm like, calm down, baby, I'm not going that fast. Let these other let these other people crash into themselves. We're not going to be a part of that.
Yeah. It's really helpful being like 10 feet up and not being right with the four wheelers all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely have a bird's eye view of what's going on out there.
Ron, do you have a rule of thumb out there yourself as far as weather conditions? Like when you're going to look, I mean, because look, one of the things that I'm an advocate for on this show is the driver is the captain of the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
My rule of thumb goes with Steven's rule of thumb, which is, if it's bad enough to chain, it's time to shut it down.
Well,
and generally that's what happens. And even, I'll take that even a step further sometimes. And if it's snowing hard enough to where I feel like I'm flying the Millennium Falcon, it's time to shut it down.
It's really kind of funny when he comes home, he's used to driving 79 feet or 83 feet of trailer behind him. And he comes home to my little Kia Rio and he's making like big old wide turns with my Kia.
And slowing down and doing all the things that I usually do in the truck.
Yeah, we have a Honda Pilot the other day. I was making a turn, Ruth, and said, you got a trailer back there? So, yeah. So your rule of thumb is, is park it when we have to chain. And that, you see, that's one of the rules I agree on 100%, Ron. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've often told people is, even though I might chain up, the four wheelers that are going to slide into me, they're not chaining up, half those guys. Wait, and recently your lovely wife was in a car accident we know about. It was a minor one, but Tracy told me this morning that the guy didn't even have a driver's license. So, you know, you get out to the West Coast where chain laws are. Next thing you know, how many people are obeying the law to chain up out there when you're trying to be a good citizen, right, truck driver? You have to obey the law and chain up. There you are with traction. Next thing you know, here comes a four-wheeler crashing into you, even though you were chained up. And so, yeah, I agree. Get off the road when you have to chain. Go ahead, Ron.
In Denver, and for the most part, everything east of 70 in Colorado, I pretty much like to travel anyway. But there are times, particularly during the heavy snowstorms, like we're coming up to here in the next 3-4 weeks, I'm not going to be going that way. I'm going to try to steer even further south down to I-10. Reason being, 40 is going to be a mess in Arizona until DOT decides to repair the roads in Flagstaff. That's going to be a very dangerous area.
Well, what's wrong with the roads out in Flagstaff?
Pothole city. You can just call it Crater City.
I actually think somebody recently, I seen on a couple posts, people were talking about that area out there.
Yeah, that area is very bad. And like I said, in ideal conditions, you still got to be on top of your game. Can you just imagine what it's going to be like with the snow and ice? I prefer not to take that route if that's the case, because I had to this time coming back towards the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why. With all the pileups, there was like one or two, between 3 to 5 trucks before I got to the 5-truck pileup that were on the side of the road. And coming out of California, they did close I-40 for a number of hours. I was fortunate enough. I stopped in Lake Havasu, took my break. And then the next morning, a couple hours later, after I woke up, they finally opened I-40, and you just
carnage
everywhere.
Yeah,
I counted 8. I believe it was 8 trucks altogether.
Wow.
That were out of commission.
Wow. You know, I remember when I was a driver one year, I had that dedicated out to Chicago and back to the East Coast. I was running for FFE as an owner. I was driving for an owner, and there was one time it was a storm was so bad, the black ice and the just the mess. You couldn't even get on the interstate in Pine Grove, where the All-American truck stop is.
Right.
And the very next morning in the daylight, I pulled out. And as I was pulling out, there was trucks upside down on the off ramp. And I get on 81, Interstate 81. And every mile or two, there was a set of roadway or a set of yellow doubles. The doubles were insane. They were up banks. They were upside down. They were flipped. Mm-hmm. I literally have never seen anything like it in my life, where for the whole stretch from Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, all the way to Harrisburg, I had to literally zigzag around the wrecks.
So scary.
It was. Yeah. And to be honest with you, there's nothing more violent looking to me than a rig upside down, to see the wheels and the brake drums and everything pointing up in the air.
Yeah.
Crazy scary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I also try to stay on the northeast as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of the northeast, when we were sitting around shooting a BS this morning, you told me you'd been in New York City 5 times. How did you like New York City as a driver? You know, I was one of those guys that used to run it like 3 times a week. Most people avoid that like the plague.
Well, there's a reason why most drivers avoid it like the plague.
George Washington Bridge.
Well, that's one.
That's the beginning, right?
that's just the tip of the iceberg. you got crazy tight turns.
How about the drivers in New York City?
Well,
aren't they really polite, though, because they like to use their horn to communicate?
Yeah, not so much.
I've often said
the last time I was in New York City, I'd gotten offloaded. I finally come out, and the bridge that I had to turn onto, I mean, it was so close. My mirrors came within 1/4 inch of hitting the actual bridge.
Phew.
So after navigating that, I'm getting ready to make my turn. That traffic is congested because of road construction and other traffic. So I kept going straight. Usually you have another right turn to fall back on. Well, that right turn as well.
Where was it? What part of New York City was this?
It was just before Manhattan, because I wound up in Manhattan.
Which way were you coming? Were you on the Verrazano or the BQE?
The 287.
Oh, so that's the BQE, I think, isn't it?
BQE, yeah.
The Brooklyn-Queens Expressway.
And I go across this bridge without even realizing where it was leading to. I get to the end of the bridge, and there's this big green sign announcing, "Welcome to Manhattan." And a little voice inside of me goes, "Uh-oh."
Why weren't you supposed to be in Manhattan?
No.
Wow.
I was trying to get out of New York City. I was supposed to go to New Jersey that day. I got on the phone with Stevens. They tried to guide me out of there, but all it took really was two left turns, and I was back across the bridge.
Oh yeah, one of the things about New York City and even New Jersey, it's almost like it's a game to that state to hide the interstates and the roads, signs. It's like, where do I go here? I remember my first year.
There's another game they play, particularly in Manhattan. It's let's play. Park all the cars on the side of the road. And then on top of that, let's have a bicycle lane. And on top of that, let's have pedestrians crisscross every 5 seconds, you know? It's like madness.
That's awesome, man.
So I got out of there. I'm like, thank God. By the grace of God, I made it out of there without hitting anything or anybody. It was a good day, actually.
And to think somebody made a sign up that says, "I love New York."
Why?
You don't think a trucker made that sign, do you?
No. As a matter of fact,
let's bring more people.
Most places I've noticed, I've been to Boston, New York City. Those places, they originally didn't have the locations, the shippers, receivers, originally located for a size 53-foot trailer along with a 26-foot tractor to get in and out.
Yeah.
More like maybe a 20-foot storage truck, you know.
Yeah.
So something not very big. And
at least those are areas like Hunts Point and the produce section in Brooklyn were...
The mafia control.
All marked down, and you kind of could see where you could go with those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hunts Point's not bad to get there.
It's not.
It reminds me.
It's a racket, though.
It is. And
what are they charging right now to get in Hunts Point?
Last time I was there was $25.
Are you serious? That's it. It was $20 20 years ago. So it's really only $25 to get in.
Apparently, they do have a heart.
New Yorkers, man. You gotta love them.
Well, I would love it if they would actually repair the roads.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it reminds me of Flagstaff when I go.
So listen, I got a little good news for you. Now, you know, Talk CDL has been on the air now for a year and a couple of months. So we just had our anniversary back in November. And
awesome.
And then I recently we had made a transition from Blog Talk Radio where you can, upload your podcasts, your shows.
Actually, that was nice for me because I could actually listen to that over my flip phone.
Well, that was okay, but the quality of the sound was horrible. And so if you listen to the last dozen or so episodes, it's all been, in our own studios where we upload it to Blueberry, and then it goes out to iTunes and to TalkCDL.com, and they're all nice, podcast feeds. And the drivers, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of downloads. It's amazing. It's beautiful, and nothing but compliments on the way the show's been going. But the good news for you is your episode in October or whatever it was is the highest download episode.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. So you're a star, Ron the Trucker.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. So, and because of the titles, it'll say interview with Ron Henderson, a trucker or whatever. I don't even know what the title is. And more drivers have downloaded that episode and listened to it. And, we get people sending us messages all the time because the downloads are free. They go to the iTunes, and some of them will download like all 200 plus episodes, and then they'll just use them as they're going down the road to listen to. It's all trucking entertainment because everything we do here is all trucking. What do you think of that?
That's awesome. It's always good to know that there are other people that are going through the same quagmire that you go through day in, day out.
Yeah, I hear you. Because
there's a lot of times you sitting in the truck by yourself going, why am I by myself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it's like a blessing and a curse.
It is.
I've been out there for many years. And, you know, one of the good things that I liked about it was, you know, you weren't opening bad mail. You weren't, you know, nobody, you didn't
That's
have.
My job.
Right. Yeah. It was your job.
That's Tracy's job. Yep.
And Ruth Ann's. But it was like you were, you know, not many people were bothering. You could turn your cell phone off and just go down the road and just turn your squelch back to where you only hear maybe half a mile out and just enjoy the scenery. To be honest with you, it was a very peaceful job. But the curse was when you're driving a tractor trailer, what you have to do all day is think. And sometimes
absolutely.
And sometimes that can drive you up a wall because usually if you're physically doing something, you're thinking of what you're doing. As a trucker, yeah, you're thinking about the driving part, but you're also doing a lot of thinking.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think it was my driver trainer that said, we literally have to make like 86,000 decisions every day based on just rolling down the road.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Getting on and off and shippers, receivers, and everything. We make a lot of decisions every day. And one thing about this job does, people may not realize it, but you might have a nice long haul for the day. But at the end of the day, you actually, when you park and you actually sit there for a second,
you're worn out.
You're worn out.
Yeah.
Physically
and mentally.
You don't want to do anything. You literally just want to do your PTI and go back in the sleeper.
Oh, I remember, you know, you say that, but I remember many a trips exactly like you just said, Ron, where I pulled in somewhere, I pulled my brakes on. And within 10 seconds, I was in that bed. I mean, literally, it was like, you know what? I'm just I'll figure it all out when I wake up. You know, that's exactly, I would be willing to bet there's a lot to do that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bad habits that kind of go along with having all that thinking. That's where some of the regulars, constant snacking, constant smoking, and all that unhealthy stuff that the guys can kind of do on the road.
Tracy, you're bringing back bad memories of 40 some pounds ago. I mean, I'm telling
you. Thanks, dear.
Yeah.
Well. Happy New Year's, y'all.
Hey, you know what I had when I was a driver? Literally a bag of Snickers and a big fountain Coke beside me at all time. And I was always picking at that stuff.
Yeah.
It was caffeine and sugar, man.
Well, for me, it's two packs of Marlboros and a gallon of coffee is usually what I carry.
Yeah. See, and you know, I smoked and chewed tobacco back in the day, but I'll tell you what, praise God for quitting there, buddy. I prayed and I quit.
I'm cutting back. I'm not quitting. I can't really quit altogether, but I am cutting back to the point where it's not going to bother me when I do quit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because eventually I will.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, it's I've been smoking for 30 plus years.
I think that going down the road with that's one of the things that helps you stay sane almost if you're a smoker is the lifting of the cigarette and smoking and enjoying that moment you're passing. Cause time seems to like not go by that fast.
It doesn't. And what it is, the thing with the cigarette is after about 5 minutes, your mind starts to go into this 1,000-mile stare and it happens all the time.
Well, I'm glad I don't smoke.
And well, that's the one reason why I smoke. Is that to break that and then I listen to talk radio as well. That also helps me kind of think of other things while I'm driving as well. It's just one of the things that keep me from doing the 1,000-mile stare where I see the black dog and all that good stuff.
I'm trying to avoid
all that.
Well, listen, Ron, let's wrap this show up. You're going to be home for a week and you're going to try to get back in. We're going to try to do another little show before you take off, right?
That's correct.
And we're going to try to get you back in here. All right. Well,
outstanding.
Any advice at all that you've learned? Just a piece of advice for any truckers out there, Ron?
Just don't take it too fast. Just never hurts to take your time and do the job right.
And that's actually really good advice in anything you're doing. Take your time, make your decisions slowly, unless it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, sometimes you got to make quick decisions. Mm-hmm. But I think people put the pressure on themselves where they got to make a decision right now. And that's really where stress comes, right?
Exactly. And make sure you plan your trip and work your plan.
All right. Well, Tracy, you have anything to say to anybody out there? Any advice for trucker wives?
my advice is basically just let them call you from when they're on their breaks and so forth. That way they can keep their mind on the job and come home to you every day. Well, whenever they can.
I like that. That's good advice. You know what? I gotta, you know, we gotta get the wives on here just for a trucker wives show. I'm telling you. And we got Kelly McCulley. She's the owns the Lady Truckers. And I think you met her over on the show already. I don't know.
Kelly. Yeah. She's super, a flatbed driver.
Yeah. Right? She's a super, super, super person. Yeah,
she seems very nice.
Christian woman, very good trucker, been with the same company for 10 years. Really good people out there. Awesome. A lot of good people driving a truck. So listen, thank you for coming on the show, Tracy.
Welcome.
And Ron.
You're welcome.
And we wish you guys nothing but the best in the future. We hope things work out for you at your job or whatever your endeavors are. And we will talk with you on the next show. We love having you on.
Well, love to be here.
All right, brother. Thank you again. All right. I'm Troy. Talk CDL. Ron Henderson and Tracy.